When it came time for the prayers, I began to panic as my classmates all joined in. It seemed like everyone knew the words and melodies but me. I felt even more anxious as my classmates lined up for the ritual hand washing, something I'd never seen growing up in a largely secular household. I found the whole thing appalling. The strange rituals, the incomprehensible prayers, the clannishness. I wanted nothing to do with any of this. I had attended just enough Hebrew school as a kid to conclude that there wasn't much worthwhile in this tradition, and this event only confirmed it. I left as soon as I could, and in 4 years of college and 3 years of law school, I never once returned. It's been 30 years since that Shabbat dinner. I've had a career as a political speechwriter, most recently in the White House for First Lady Michelle Obama. I've written a book about rediscovering Judaism as an adult that was essentially a love letter to Jewish tradition. And I've trained as a chaplain, volunteering on the oncology floor of a local hospital. But when I recall that Friday evening, I still confront a hornet's nest of painful emotions I would rather not feel, starting with shame. Thinking back on the Jew I was in college, I feel ashamed. Not of my ignorance, but of my arrogance. How I concluded that thousands of years of Jewish tradition amounted to little more than what I'd learned in Hebrew school, and I had dismissed it accordingly. I would never dream of treating anyone else's cultural, ethnic, national, or religious heritage that way. To judge Islam based on what I learned about it in my ninth grade world cultures class, or to decide that I'd learned all there is to know about the indigenous peoples of my country in sixth grade social studies, that would be unthinkable to me. But I felt fine taking that approach to my own tradition. Beneath my shame, though, is something more. Something I feel when I recall the Jew I used to be. One who thought of herself as a white person with a fun ethnic twist, a dash of neurosis, a touch of gallows humor. One who was adorably Jewish, a little bit different, but not in a way that would make anyone uncomfortable. Severed from my roots, the closest I came to meaning and spirituality was a collection of social justice slogans and self-help cliches, a convenient mashup of democratic politics and being a good person, filtered through the you-do-you creed of modern life. Knowing much about how to be accomplished, but little about how to be good, I skimmed the surface of my life while building my resume. I had inherited a family heirloom passed down for 200 generations, carried by my ancestors across the globe, present at births and deaths, raucous holiday celebrations and times of wrenching despair, every crack, chip, and worn spot a testament to how many hands have held it and how harrowing its journey has been. But having no idea of its value and unable to appreciate its beauty, after just a quick glance, I had decided this birthright of mine was shabby, that the design didn't match my decor. So I had tossed it in the trash and replaced it with something I picked up on my way to the checkout aisle at IKEA. What I feel is grief, because this tradition had been lost to me for so many years, and I had almost lost it entirely. But beneath that shame and grief is something I feel even more intensely, because I now understand how all of this happened. I now understand how centuries of lies about my tradition had driven me away from it, how lenses imposed on it by others had distorted and demeaned it, how my ignorance and arrogance were in part the result of a generations-long persecution and trauma-induced spiritual erasure. What I feel is anger. I'm furious at those who perpetrated this fraud. And I'm furious at myself because for decades, I fell for it, even enthusiastically participated in it. And I still sometimes catch myself doing so today. For most of my life, I regarded being Jewish more as a hassle to be endured than a gift to be appreciated. Neither of my parents was all that into Judaism, but they felt it was important to give me and my brother some sense of Jewish identity. They joined a synagogue, dutifully sent us to its Hebrew school, and dragged us to services twice a year on the major holidays. Added an annual Hanukkah party with family friends, and the occasional highly truncated Seder with my grandmother, we'd ask the four questions, eat matzo ball soup, and call it a night. And that was our Judaism. None of this was all that meaningful, particularly when compared with our other household religion, which was a kind of old-school American dreamism. If there was anything we worshipped, it was education, believing with revival tent fervor in its salvation.